Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 2.5 years after they were murdered in their off-campus home in Moscow, Idaho, the man who killed them faces justice. Brian Koberger expected in court today, where he will be sentenced in the stabbing deaths of those four University of Idaho students in late 2022. A heat dome stretching across the central and southern parts of the U.S., affecting about 95 million people, with heat index readings over 110 degrees. And for those of us on the East Coast,
you know, it's still comfortable in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic. That's about to change. We go through late week, 103 that feel like reading in New York City, 104 in D.C., 106 on Saturday in Savannah. The hot weather continues into next week.
ABC News meteorologist Lee Goldberg. The House in recess until September. House Speaker Mike Johnson sending members home and continued cries of the Trump administration to release more information related to Jeffrey Epstein. A doctor accused of supplying actor Matthew Perry with ketamine before his death is expected in court today to plead guilty. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Our listening area is under a heat advisory from noon until 8 p.m. today. Search efforts continue for a missing La Crosse woman. 22-year-old Elliot Hines was last seen Sunday morning walking on the 500 block of Front Street South. La Crosse police are asking for the public's help in finding her. For the past 2 days, search operations have covered both the water and land in the area she was last seen. Hines is 5'4" and weighs about 120 pounds and was last seen wearing a white t-shirt and jean shorts. Anyone with information on her location is asked to call the La Crosse Police Department. 4 meetings dot the city government calendar today. The city administrator work group will meet, as well as the Building and Housing Appeals Board, to go over an item for the renovation of Fire Station 3. The Economic and Community Development Commission will go over annual compliance reports for several property developments around La Crosse, and the Human Rights Commission will hear a discrimination complaint. There's only a few more committee meetings left in July. The next Common Council meeting is August 14th. The La Crosse County Board approved a measure to accept $350,000 in state grant money for the Pathways Home Program. The measure, which was previously also approved by the La Crosse Common Council, will provide funding to hire an additional social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. Funding for the grant runs through 2027. To date, the Pathways Home Program has aided in housing over 150 people, in addition to providing other services for people who are experiencing homelessness. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s, with high humidity pushing the heat index into the triple digits today. Scattered showers and storms are possible into the evening, with better chances of rain tomorrow. Highs will fall back into the mid-80s through the weekend, with rounds of scattered showers and storms. Highs return to the 90s by early next week, and the humidity won't take a break either. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Training camp is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Green Bay, where the Packers training camp got started. The team holding open practice to the public. The players riding the bikes of kids to the Nitschke practice field, a tradition dating back to the Lombardi era. Practices tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, open to fans at 10:30 a.m. Baseball. The Brewers' 11-game winning streak came to an end. Seattle's all-star catcher, Cal Raleigh, got a hold of a solo home run shot off of Nick Mears in the sixth, and that was it. The Brewers losing to the Mariners 1-0. That was the second longest winning streak in Brewers franchise history. NBA, Damian Lillard says, after suffering that torn Achilles tendon, he asked some other athletes for advice, including Kevin Durant and a former Packers player.
You know, I know it's going to be a long journey. I know it's a challenge mentally, you know, just kind of learning more about it, you know, talking to Aaron Rodgers and KD and Rudy Gay, you know, all these guys that experienced it and handled it differently.
That's the Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and muggy today. The heat index pushing 100 or better, with an actual high in the low to mid-90s this afternoon. A few thunderstorms late this afternoon and tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe, with hail and wind being the main threat tomorrow. Partly cloudy thunderstorms with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Matt Nair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwab of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 23rd, 2025, and it's a beautiful morning to have you here in Madison, wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the other platforms that we have for you. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you about Madison traffic. The Beltline that runs, you know, around the bottom of the metro area here. Is that kind of like the Golden Gate Bridge in the sense that the construction just kind of works its way down and by the time you think it's all done, they just go back? Then they start over again, because I got to say, I haven't missed that. I haven't missed you, Madison Road Construction. We're here in Madison Studio A2, and that's Parker Olson, who produces this fine shindig and has guided me into the opposite end of the broom closet over here. If you folks watching on social media go, Pat, you appear to be in solitary confinement. Why, yes. Is there nothing that could hang on the wall, a picture of Luke? No. I move my head to show you. There's the clock.
We do have the... Yeah.
That's the cheat sheet to know when to go to commercial break. Mr. Olson, how are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Person. I didn't know how tall you were.
I didn't know you had glasses.
I thought you were a dwarf. I thought you were small.
I thought you were bald. I mean,
it's been a toupee the whole time.
Exactly.
I take it off and put it back on in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are at the Civic Media Global HQ. A lot of the hosts and folks are going to be getting together today. So, in fact, a lot of your favorite hosts will be gone. Because after this show ends, we're all going out for coffee and talking about the state of the world and radio and you, how we make you happy with things that we discuss on local radio all across Wisconsin. So we'll talk a bit first about a candidate for governor, Bill Berrien, who's already running some ads in the state. And yet one investigative reporter has tried to, you know, flush out more of his story. And there's still some gaps in there. So we'll ask, who is Bill Berrien coming up in the program? Now, this show happens to be hosted as well by a former legislator who has seen pretty much all the tricks. And so I'm going to talk to you a bit about Congressman Tom Tiffany, continuing to tease a potential run for governor, despite a lack of statewide appeal. And I'll tell you what the trick is behind it, which is not to say he's definitely not running for governor, but there's a reason why I suspect that he might not be, because of something that we see all the time here. If you missed it in our 8 o'clock hour yesterday, we talked to Dan Schaefer, and we'll play some of that back this hour about the new push for permanent nonpartisan redistricting after the 2030 census here in Wisconsin. We'll talk about how the Speaker of the House chose to send members of Congress home early in order to cover up any release of the Epstein files. But won't that just put more heat on President Trump? We'll talk about the potential hazards and the newest one that we've learned about, a member of his administration going to the prison in Tallahassee to meet with Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. There's nothing good could happen, could come from that. In our homeroom segment, we're going to be talking about declining enrollment. And when enrollment goes down, there's this reduction in state aid. And at first blush, you might think, well, that makes sense. You know, fewer kids, fewer state dollars. However, there are certain fixed expenses for schools that stay the same. By and large, if you only lose a handful of kids, but you've already lost that handful of state dollars. So we'll talk to the business manager and a school board member up in Chippewa Falls. Will join us as I'm down here in Madison today. What else? It's been 5 years since the passing of civil rights leader and former Congressman John Lewis. His spirit still calls us to get into what he called good trouble in the fight for voting rights, dignity, and justice for all. Earl Ingram's new Civic Media podcast asks how we carry that legacy forward, from civic engagement to mobilizing for change, all to ensure that Wisconsin stands on the right side of history. Along the way, feel free to join us in the comment sections here. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, we'd love to get your questions, your comments. You can also use the Civic Media app to send us a text as well. Because I'm not at the palatial Lake Wissota studios where I have, you know, four computer screens at once, I may not see the text messages right away, but we'll get to them. Parker, you see them over there too, though. Do you see the text messages?
I see a message from Jim from Brookfield.
Okay. Oh, hi, Jim.
Yeah. He says there was a collective sigh of disappointment over the Mohawk area last night. There may have been a sigh of relief from George Webb franchise owners.
I don't think they minded the publicity. And Roger puts on Facebook, well, it was fun while it lasted. A 1-0 game is great if you win, but a 1-0 game stings if you lose it. Says the show is sounding great at his end, as we wondered if our technical setup was all working
good
fine.
To know. Thank you,
seems
sir.
To be fine. Thank you. Appreciate that. That gets us to the Brewers.
Yeah.
They lost.
They did.
1-0.
You know what sucks is
what is it, Parker?
Had they lost last night,
yeah,
I wouldn't have cared at all.
Yeah.
It'd have been like, yeah.
Okay.
It is literally the prospect of free hamburgers that I wasn't gonna get.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
I was going to say, there's no George Webb around here
in
Madison anyplace. For folks who might have missed it because they were out west, look, the thing is, the Brewers' bats, sometimes, you know, they come and they go. And recall that I mentioned, I mentioned yesterday that the game 2 days ago, the Seattle pitcher, you know, took a no-hitter into the sixth inning, I believe it was. Well, again, last night you had Seattle's pitcher, Logan Gilbert. He carried a perfect game into the fifth inning and ended up yielding only 2 Brewers singles. And so the Brewers' 11-game winning streak was snapped, 1-0. And the other thing that makes it really sad, Parker, is that, I mean, Jacob Mizorowski, he was great. Struck out 7 across 3 2/3 innings, gave up 3 hits, walked only 1 batter. So, I mean, we had the right guy on the mound.
Yeah.
Here's what we didn't have. We didn't have Cal Raleigh, who is the leader in the home runs this season, as a catcher. As a catcher. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that since Johnny Bench. And Johnny Bench did not have the same kind of nickname that Cal Raleigh has, the Big Dumper.
Big Dumper.
only because, again, some teammates said that, that's a big can he's got on his backside there, which I suppose if you're a catcher, you know, those glutes can get to be in good shape. So the Big Dumper hit his major league leading 39th home run of the season. So that was it. The guy that won the home run derby hit a home run and ended the Brewers' 11-game winning streak. So the Brewers just, they get right back at it. They're now tied for first place with the Chicago Cubs and get a chance to once again try to take first place on their own by playing the Mariners, wrapping up that series this afternoon. 2:05 will be the start of the pregame on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And then they'll have tomorrow off. Home for a series against the Florida Marlins starting Friday. And then the Cubs come to town next Monday for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday setup, including a Wednesday day game. And interestingly enough, as we were setting up for this get together here, Parker, you know, the Civic Media folks have great tickets for the Brewers, club level seats. We'll give away some more this Friday as part of Free Ticket Friday. And somebody that I know really well, oh, that'd be me, is going to be using those tickets real soon in a few days here. And did you catch yesterday how they put out the word like, hey, these tickets are really starting to get popular. So, you know, you yes. might not get the ones you want for the games you want. And if you want them, you got to make sure that you're able to use them. So yeah. it's still a hot ticket. We've been giving tickets away for that Cubs, you know, Brewers Cubs series. And I am very encouraged to think that American Family Field is going to have many more Brewers fans than it normally does when the Cubs come to town, because a lot of times people are like, they're coming. Let's skip yeah. it. You know,
I've voiced my concerns about that. Go yes. to the game, Brewer fans.
Go to the game.
Otherwise, you're giving the Cubs a seat.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't.
You don't have to engage. You can just be there to, as they say, root for the home team. Which, by the way, that is also when I mentioned rooting for the home team. We have an article on ways that you can enjoy baseball on a budget across Wisconsin. There are many teams beyond, of course, the Brewers in the major leagues. There's what in Madison? There's the Mallards.
There's the Mallards.
And then what's the other one? The Nightmares?
Nightmares is the softball team.
The softball team. And we're counting that for these purposes. By the way, Nightmares, M-A-R-E-S.
Yes.
Like the Phillies.
Although last night, I believe, was Nightmares Night, and they had, like, clowns and snakes and stuff. They have a great time over there.
It's one of my favorite T-shirts. Is one that just all the writing is in a spiral, and it spirals inward. And the whole time it says, "Can't sleep, clowns will eat me. Can't sleep, clowns will eat me. Can't sleep." Anyway, on the website, Baseball for a Bargain. So whether it's the Mallards or a host of other teams around Wisconsin, there are all kinds of different specials and deals that enable you to save a few bucks while taking in the old ballgame at one of many locations around Wisconsin. So look for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. So, but you didn't have to work that game last night.
I did not, no. I had the fortune of seeing a picture of an intern with their eyes popping out of her head while a snake was around her neck. That's how I found out.
So, good job.
Yeah.
you missed that one. Oh, man. Hey, a little note about Civic Media, now that I've told you some nice things about Up North News here. But here at the Civic Media World Headquarters, besides Up North News having a newsroom with statewide reach, our friends here at Civic Media also have you covered, including local news updates that you can get from each individual station. What you do is you go to civicmedia.us and then call up your local Civic Media station, and that'll bring up that station's homepage. And up near the top, you'll see a daily news roundup that you can listen to right there. You can sign up for email versions of the daily update as well. And by the way, while you're at the Civic Media website, there's merchandise out there too. So again, civicmedia.us is where you learn much more about the programs and where you can get merch and where you can listen to podcasts like Matt Rothschild's podcast. And I believe Matt Rothschild is guest hosting, yes, Matt and Air on Air, coming up at 9 o'clock, right after this fine program right here. And then, of course, we've got, like I said, an assortment of either guest hosts or other best of programming while we have a little summer fun here. It's summer vacation season. So for summer vacation, the hosts here, we're going to lock ourselves in a room and talk. It's going to be great.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. So an entire new lineup is coming your way tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. across the Civic Meet. No, it'll be fine. It'll be great. Parker's not believing this for a minute over here.
I think it'll be okay.
What the thing I'm curious about is the icebreaker. Everything has an icebreaker. And
all right, guys, join hands in the middle and see if you can untie the human knot.
Maybe if you got any great ideas for icebreakers or incredibly bad ideas, we'll take them, really. From the heart of America's up north, which, of course, is all of Wisconsin. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Don't forget, you can get everything we do at Up North News in terms of Wisconsin news coverage through our daily newsletter and our Sunday morning newsletter as well. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, we've got a feature on Arrowhead High School star pitcher Peter Cusso, who just signed with the New York Mets, the only Wisconsin high schooler invited to this year's NFL Draft Combine. Also, some cases of true crime history in Wisconsin. 11 of the biggest true crime stories that have come out of our state. And also a new study that ties the state's weaker than usual state gun laws to the number of child deaths in Wisconsin. Again, these are all things, these are gun deaths that are entirely preventable if we would take the situation more seriously, if our elected officials would take the situation more seriously. And again, for that and more of our coverage, sign up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. So this is what stuck out at Urban Milwaukee, the site urbanmilwaukee.com, and investigative reporter Bruce Murphy, who has been doing the due diligence of, well, any good reporter who has to cover things like, you know, unknowns who want to be governor and already have more than $1 million applied toward that. Now, granted, in Bill Berrien's case, the CEO of this manufacturing firm raised $1.2 million in the last reporting period, but $1 million of that $1.2 million came from the Winklevoss twins and their cryptocurrency endeavors. We're going to talk more about cryptocurrency tomorrow, by the way, with State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty. More about that coming up. But anyway, so there's Bill Berrien, this businessman who's running for governor. And Bruce Murphy notes that he does describe himself as a Navy SEAL, that he owns a new Berlin-based manufacturing company, that he's an outsider who would shake up Madison. He calls himself a Wisconsin convert who moved to the state and chose to raise his family in the Milwaukee suburb of Whitefish Bay. But Bruce Murphy writes precisely when Berrien moved here, how he acquired his wealth, and how much business acumen he has is unclear. The candidate has not said anything about his family or his upbringing. And that's when Bruce Murphy got to digging here. And so he found out more about Bill Berrien's parents, including Willard Berry. Actually, Bill Berrien's full name is Willard Berrien III, son of Willard Hewitt Berrien Jr., also known as Bill, who passed away in March after a long career in finance. He was an avid stock investor. The Berrien family had a home on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, Bruce Murphy writes, one of the most affluent areas of New York City, a summer home on Long Island. And one realtor says the pace of life in that neighborhood is quieter and more measured than in other parts of the Hamptons. I know exactly what you're thinking here. Wait a minute. Didn't we just go through this with Tim Michaels? Wasn't Tim Michaels essentially living, around New York City and growing up around wealth and privilege and sending his kids to school there? Yeah. So that's what we know about the Berrien family, being raised on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Let's see. He was, Bill Berrien, an active member of several clubs in the area. He went, according to Murphy's story, to the best private schools. He attended St. David's on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. The current tuition is $64,000 a year. He went to high school at Trinity School on the Upper West Side, where tuition is about $69,000 a year. In today's dollars, that would be $788,000. From there, it was on to the Ivy League. Bill attended Princeton University, just 80 minutes away by train, where he got a degree in politics and added to his resume by serving as captain of the Princeton University water polo team. So you might, in the future, hear us describe Bill Berrien, not business owner Bill Berrien, but Princeton University water polo captain Bill Berrien, who's running for Wisconsin governor. Berrien did then join the Navy SEALs. He served as a team officer and platoon commander, graduating from the Naval Officer Candidate School as a distinguished naval graduate. So again, he has served his country, and we thank him for that. He went back to school, getting a master's in international economics at Johns Hopkins University. He got an MBA at Harvard. It's funny, for all the Republicans who are looking to attack Harvard and want to diminish the Ivy League, a lot of them sure seem to have Ivy League degrees of some sort or another. Bruce Murphy notes that by his mid-30s, he still did not have a clear career path. His LinkedIn profile shows no job or schooling for 2 years after that Harvard degree. Berrien told WISN he moved to Wisconsin 23 years ago, but that would have been while he was still attending Harvard. The first LinkedIn item that could place him in Wisconsin is a global product manager at GE Healthcare, which has offices in Chicago and Milwaukee. In 2004-2005, he finally then has an address listed after purchasing a home in Whitefish Bay in 2009 for $625,000. He calls himself a Southeast Wisconsin community leader, including 12 years of volunteer parent coaching his two sons in youth and high school lacrosse and serving on the boards of numerous charities. But then as Bruce Murphy goes on and talks about his professional career, he's having a tough time finding out where Berrien got the money to actually acquire the business that he has now. And Bruce Murphy wraps up simply by saying, all of this suggests that the life story and candidacy of Bill Berrien is not quite the simple tale he has been telling voters. And again, none of that may be untoward, but as somebody who's run for office, I mean, the advice is always clear, and that is Have your story. Have your story. Tell your story. Tell people who you are. And for the love of all things holy in politics, don't leave gaps that you can't explain. So Bill Berrien will be asked a little bit more about the path that led him to believing that he should be the next governor of Wisconsin. We'll hear from Dan Schaefer about independent redistricting after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, pork and egg producers, but really all of production agriculture should be watching Washington, D.C. today. The House Agriculture Committee is going to take a look at California's Proposition 12. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Back in 2018, California voters decided to essentially ban the sale of conventionally raised pork and eggs within the state. That meant producers from coast to coast had to change their farming operations if they wanted to be in the California market. Now, reality has set in. Will Coggan, research director with the Center for Environment and Welfare, says that consumers are paying the price for being misled by animal rights groups in 2018.
They didn't realize how much it was going to drive up prices for their bacon, their eggs at the grocery store by banning conventionally produced products. And so with bird flu also creating havoc on the egg prices, eggs got up to over 10 bucks a dozen in California. And so we did some polling in May, and we found that Californians have voter's remorse. They have buyer's remorse about Prop 12. 60% of Californians say they want a legislative fix to Prop 12. And we also asked, hey, if this Prop 12 was on the ballot again tomorrow, would you vote for it? Only 35% of people said yes, so it would fail if it was on the ballot again tomorrow.
Will Coggan, research director with the Center for Environment and Welfare, Congress trying to address a fix for Proposition 12 in California today. Markets and overnight electronic trade, not impressing me. Numbers are next.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Again, no change on barrel or block cheese yesterday. The AA butter lost another 2.25 cents to 247.75. This morning, December new crop corn's unchanged at 418. November beans are up a nickel at 1031. September wheat unchanged at 550. August milk that goes into cheese is down 27 cents at 1730 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and muggy today. The heat index pushing 100 or better with an actual high in the low to mid-90s this afternoon. A few thunderstorms late this afternoon and tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat tomorrow. Partly cloudy thunderstorms with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is sliding into the seats here at Radio Park in Racine. We will be back with you on Thursday. Join Matt. Going to be a great show.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
What did you find for us over here now? This is intriguing new bumper music.
It is, yeah. It is a breath of fresh air.
Well, that's debatable. Oh, that's the cut.
That's the name. I see. Okay. Yeah. Can't believe that?
Got a little bit of like a little Al Hurt vibe in there.
Yeah, kinda, a little sort of trumpets for you, whatever it is. I don't know.
All right.
Really I don't good. Know instruments very well.
So not a kazoo, that much we know.
Ah, it's yes.
Very limited musical knowledge that we have here. The whole topic of Bill Berrien was brought up running for governor because of him saying that he was going to drop $400,000 in advertising. And it's what led to our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, saying that if somebody spends that much money, more than a year ahead of the primary election, does that make you really not like them and less likely to vote for them? Or does it really not matter because you understand they need to build their name ID and it's neither here nor there? Do you actually like it because it shows some initiative, some gumption on the part of the candidate? The answer has overwhelmingly been A at this point. Although, again, keep in mind that while people are not happy that Bill Berrien is running ads right now, it could be later on that they may really like what they're hearing if his candidacy, lasts into next year. But Mel writes, when someone runs ads this early in the election cycle, I think they must have lots of money or the backing of some money donors to be able to afford it. And that alone makes me wary, which is completely understandable. But again, if you'd like to answer as well, you should be a subscriber to our Sunday morning newsletter. And of course, you can also send us your thoughts by email. Send that email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right. Well, yesterday, late in the show, we talked to our friend Dan Schaefer, the political editor at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And his most recent newsletter is about nonpartisan redistricting. To which you think, well, wait, we got fair maps. Everything's all good, right? No, far from it. And the elections next year in 2026 will perhaps decide whether Wisconsin comes even closer to fair maps or gets gerrymandered all over again. And so Dan Schaefer has talked to folks who are looking to make a push for nonpartisan redistricting. Take the legislature out of it once and for all. To do that, they'll need a permanent legislative solution and legislators willing to abide by it. So I started by asking Dan just a bit more about what he wrote about in his newsletter that you can get at therecombobulationarea.news.
Yeah, so I was writing this piece over the last couple of weeks here and got a chance to talk to a number of folks who have long been involved in the Fair Maps movement in Wisconsin and are kind of beginning the latest effort anew. And last year, when Tony Evers signed new maps into law in February of 2024, I think that was a momentous achievement for the state of being out from under a decade of the most egregious partisan gerrymander for any state legislature in the country and moving towards a better, newer, fairer maps that were initiated by this remedial maps process that came through the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Huge achievement, but not a long-term one. It's a short-term fix to the problem of unconstitutional maps. And 2030 is, just a few years away, and we're going to be back at square one without an actual legislative change to reform the way the state operates its redistricting process. And so I talked to people with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women's Voters and a number of volunteers who have been meeting for hours every week to talk about and hone this plan to try to get a quote-unquote Wisconsin model for independent redistricting in the state. And I think the plan that they have come up with is a pretty compelling one. And right now it is what is happening. It is kind of coming from the behind the scenes, you know, crafting the proposal, crafting the process stage to really bringing it to the public. So they've held a number of public events about this proposal over the past few weeks. I believe they had ones in Wausau and Green Bay and Dodgeville and Whitefish Bay just north of Milwaukee. And so I think they're eyeing to have more of these in the coming months and eventually have a proposal that will bring legislation creating an independent redistricting commission for the state of Wisconsin that would oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. And then it would also include a push for a constitutional amendment to change to amend the state constitution to say that it is not the legislators themselves who are drawing the maps, who have oversight over the redistricting process. You know, kind of the old adage of the voters should pick their leaders, not the other way around.
Again, I'm glad they're starting as early as they are because we don't know the results of the 2026 election, but they need to be ready come January of 2027, try to put together, you know, enough of a bipartisan coalition where the party leaders from one or both parties don't go, well, blank that, we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps.
Yeah, and the goal for this is to have bipartisan support. And it is very purposefully not being crafted in partnership with any lawmakers from either major political party in Wisconsin. I think some of the people that I talked to for this are a little bit more skeptical of Democrats' motivations in the Fair Maps movement after some wanted to wait and have the courts draw the maps during the remedial maps process last year, instead of having the governor sign the maps that he himself proposed. So I think some were waiting for a slightly more advantageous map for Democrats. And I think some people, some of these pro-democracy advocates and Fair Maps activists were saying, wait a minute there. That's not really what we're here about. That's not what our priorities and principles are. And so I think there are some people in that space who are wanting to say, you know, we don't want either party to have the opportunity to gerrymander maps ever in Wisconsin. Again, we saw how it decimated the state's politics in so many ways. And so regardless of which party would be in power in 2030, the effort here is to get that power out of the power to draw the maps out of the politicians' hands.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You can sign up for his newsletter, therecombobulationarea.news. And, of course, he's the political editor here at Civic Media as well. We talked about it being it's quiet here while we wait for the governor to make his announcement. Do you feel, maybe you have the list right next to you, you know, that if the governor announces he's not running and the list of potential candidates, can you imagine how many phone calls are going to be made within like the first 5 minutes of that announcement? And I really am concerned that some of these folks, their phones might actually catch fire because so many calls are going to be coming into them going, do you have something to say? And we should know better. There's nobody that's going to announce within 5 minutes of the governor's announcement that they're running, even though we all want to be the first one to get somebody saying that they're running. So I guess we're just tempering expectations, I guess, is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there are a lot of careers riding on what the decision the governor makes, right? I think we've gone through the list, I think, on this show or others a couple different times about who the group of candidates might be to run for governor. But it's certainly going to be a busy time as soon as Evers makes that decision. And that's not to say, like, what the other implications of that might be, what, you know, races for attorney general or secretary of state, depending on who might be running. And I think there are, you know, the domino effect of this is going to be pretty profound, regardless of what way this goes for the governor, especially if he decides not to seek a third term. There are going to be a lot of changes in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. And once again, I will reiterate, I think that's a good thing.
Once again, that's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Sign up at therecombobulationarea.news to learn more as he, can, along with all the rest of us, continues to follow what it is that Tony Evers is going to do or not do when it comes to running for a third term and potentially opening up a wide open Democratic primary and an even wider Republican primary for governor next year. All right, it is my unfortunate duty to shift gears to the Epstein files here for a moment, only because, again, of conduct so outrageous and egregious, it can't just be ignored. As much as we'd like to ignore and not have to think about parts of the Epstein case, the fact of the matter is that justice continues to be delayed for many of the victims in that case, and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is in essence now part of that cover-up. He chose yesterday to send Congress home early. The summer recess, he started it more than a day early rather than have to deal with the push by some members to pass legislation or a resolution that would call for the release of more of the files about the sexual predator. Why? I mean, these are Republicans who, along with Democrats now, have been clamoring for transparency for the longest time. And so when President Trump did his about-face recently and said, you know, it's all a hoax, there's really nothing there, understandably, folks were suspicious on both sides of the aisle and said, how about if we just get it all out there? And look, there are folks who are still allies of President Trump who are attacking Democrats for piling on at this point, going, oh, we haven't heard from you for, you know, over a year, a couple of years on this case, and now suddenly you're vocal about it. Well, yeah, here's why. There was no need to. The people who were clamoring for the past 2-3 years or more about this were people who were trying to make political hay out of this whole issue. And now that it's become clear that those same people are being disappointed by a potential cover-up by the president and the Speaker of the House, it's worth calling out. Even those of us who weren't using the case for political hay can now look at this in case and say, can we all not agree that everything should be out there? And most people would tell you everything should be out there. And yet every Republican from Wisconsin in Congress and most Republicans in the House voted against a measure last week that would have called for that. So here's what the White House is doing instead. We talked about some of the potential distractions that are out there yesterday. Here's the newest distraction, where a Deputy Attorney General of the United States is going to be meeting with Epstein's girlfriend and co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell in prison in Florida, saying that, you know, he wants to talk to Ghislaine Maxwell to see if there's anything that she wants to say, and that if she's got accusations to make, she should be able to make them. Well, this is not what it appears to be. She's been convicted. She's serving a 20-year sentence. She has seen Donald Trump give out pardons like candy to convicted criminals. The fact that a deputy attorney general at this level has never gone to a prison to meet with a convicted felon. I mean, prosecutors do, but not political members of a presidential administration. It just reeks of the potential to dangle some kind of deal for leniency or a pardon if she'll say what Trump wants her to say. She's had a chance to talk in court. She's decided not to. Prosecutors in the past have said that she has lied to them. So anything that she says is a little, shall we say, untrustworthy. So a deputy attorney general saying that he wants to go visit with her and see if there's anything she wants to say is a big red flag compared to simply, you know, releasing the files that are already there and already collected. And the number of Republicans recognizing this is only growing. And while Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has sent Congress home wishing it would go away, it's probably only going to increase the pressure on them to come back to D.C. after the recess and say, let's release all this and get it behind us no matter what's in it. Which, by the way, is the right answer, because it's about justice for the victims, not diversions, not distractions, but justice. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You have my permission to turn your radio up to 11 right about now. Everybody's got a song or two where they're just like, I just need to blast something. For me, that would be Synchronicity 2 by The Police. Their final album, Synchronicity, hit number one this day in 1983. And I'm going to leave this music up just long enough because the first line to the first verse is just, it's wonderful. Here we go. And what do you have to do? You have to shout above the din of our Rice Krispies as grandmother is screaming at the wall. Another suburban family morning. Just another day in Wisconsin Rapids, where we bring along our friend Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I am doing good.
All right.
Sitting in the dark, because we want the heat out.
It is going to be a hot one today.
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Is it hot enough for a pigeon to need air conditioning? How's Lilu doing?
Lilu's doing good. Until 104, they are okay.
Okay.
And that's what we're supposed to hit today with the heat indexes. So
yikes.
I'm not okay at 104. That's impressive.
Nobody should be okay at 104. So Lilu still no tricks to show off for us. Yeah, I don't see a flaming hoop that she's jumping through or anything like that.
They did manage to muddle through the bath I put in the cage for them. So
okay.
We're making progress.
Hey, bathing is important. You know,
it is.
So
it's true. As Brittany Merlot now knows after camping at EAA for a couple of days.
I think we're going to hear from her one more time in about 15, 20 minutes here. And I'm hoping the days and days of camping at AirVenture have been kind to her and that she does not look like she's surviving some kind of a reality show out in the jungle. Did you, Melissa, have a song or a group like that? Like there's just some song you want to just turn up to 11 and blast it?
Oh yeah, probably. But
is it a Broadway show tune or is it like there's nothing?
No,
do you rock out?
I go in cycles, and right now Rainbow Kitten Surprise is my band that I like to turn up really loud, but they're not radio safe.
Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. Parker knows this.
I do.
He's going to get me a clip so that I understand. Because I am now intrigued.
Oh, boy.
On this day in 1903, the Ford Motor Company sold its very first car. On this day in 2018, the National Transportation Safety Board warned against the trend of jumping out of moving cars and dancing to Drake's In My Feelings. Melissa, please tell me you never did that to make a viral video.
Never did that.
Okay. This next one, look, I'm not taking joy in this, but nobody has given us the sound of irony quite like Amy Winehouse, who died on this day in 2011. Amy Winehouse, dead of alcohol poisoning at the age of 27, this day in 2011. On this day in 1996, then 18-year-old Fiona Apple released her debut album, and it would sell over 3 million copies. Happy birthday to Slash, the Guns N' Roses guitarist, who is 60 years old today. Happy 54th birthday to Alison Krauss. Now, again, in true testimony that we all like all different kinds of music, at one moment I might blast Synchronicity, and yet there's not an Alison Krauss song that I wouldn't also turn up and listen to with that voice.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Awesome. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. Want to take a guess how old he is today, the actor?
Oh, man. Maybe 29?
36.
Ooh.
36 today. Yes.
Wow.
I know. Yes. Next, happy 77th birthday to John Hall. Not Daryl Hall, not John Oates, John Hall. Totally different guy. He was the founder of the 70s musical group Orleans. He later became a community activist and a congressman from 2006 to 2010. On this day in 1962, Jackie Robinson became the first Black American inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And on this day in 1977, the number one hit was by Barry Manilow. Wait till you hear what's coming next in terms of musical whiplash, okay? So just stick around for that. Here's Barry Manilow from 1977. Looks like we made it, yes. Now, of course, we're also, Melissa, noting the passing of a musical legend, and that, of course, would be Ozzy Osbourne, who passed away at at the age of 76. So as we bring up one of his seminal hits, I ask you this, Melissa, where are you on the musical scale of Barry Manilow to Ozzy Osbourne?
I couldn't tell you one Ozzy Osbourne song.
I think that's our answer.
Oh, come on.
I've probably heard them, but yeah.
We've all heard them, but
true.
Do I know them? No, absolutely. There's a reason why you hear yacht rock on this program and all kinds of schmaltz from the 50s and 60s. This is the demographic that we're dealing with on this particular show. But we know that John Michael Ozzy Osbourne was a leading figure in music. He was, you know, basically mm-hmm. the founding father of heavy metal. And then later turned out to be quite the doting father on the TV show The Osbournes. So, and I just know him from the times that he would, like, mock himself in TV commercials. And anybody that can do that, that gets an extra check mark in my book. So, happy trails to Ozzy Osbourne. And who knows, maybe Lilu will grow up to become, you can't force your kids to like the same thing that you like. So, for all you know, Lilu may That's respond true. Best to heavy metal down the road. As
we'll
Lilu gets more accustomed to things here. We always appreciate the update, Melissa, and you can catch much more of what she's doing over at WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a great day, Melissa.
Good to see you guys.
Much more after the 7 o'clock news here, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is sentencing day for Brian Koberger, the man who has pleaded guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students in late 2022. House Speaker Mike Johnson closing proceedings and sending members of the House home early as cries grow louder for more transparency in the release of the full Jeffrey Epstein files. Speaker Johnson.
We're not going to allow them to engage in that charade anymore. Why do I call it a charade? Because the Democrats are trying to play gotcha politics right now.
This is Democratic Senator Cory Booker.
Clear, the speaker believes that their membership in the Republican caucus over there is so fragile that they cannot withstand simple debate, discussion about the topic of Jeffrey Epstein.
A heat dome covering much of the country, at least the middle and southern parts of it, the core of extreme heat over the Mississippi River Valley today, with feels like temperatures over 110 degrees in places like Memphis, Tennessee. This is ABC News.